kind of like the old poem says, only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Serving God or serving self. What are we going to choose? I know it's your desire to please God. Isn't it? Isn't it your desire to please God with your life? I believe it is, or you wouldn't be here tonight. But man, it's those temptations that get in our way tomorrow. They're coming. Let's live for God. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Struggling to love people. If only that wasn't a battle in life. If only it was always easy to love people. Stop and think back to the first person you ever struggled loving. Maybe it was in elementary school. Maybe it was before elementary school. And yet we think through some of those aspects, and aren't you thankful you've worked through some of that? And some of those people you worked through. Evangelist Dave Young shared a story of his one and only fight yesterday at Harvest Fest, and Noel's smiling because it was a funny story. And man, he wasn't taking joy in the story, but the reality that this was one of his best friends, and he was fighting with him. He's like, what is going on? And you know what? They shook hands at the end, and they were friends again. And the reality is they work through that. And that's what God wants us to do, not to get to the point of fighting and quarreling and the problems. But sometimes there are walls of division. Sometimes situations happen and it's hard to love others. But aren't you thankful that it's not left up to us to love others in our own strength? Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. The power, that power of God in our lives to love others. This week, people, it'll come your way that there will be people that will be tough to love. It might be that grocery store clerk who just messed up everything as you were trying to check out. It might be you go out to eat and man, your waitress was nothing but trouble. And your food was problematic and you're just struggling to show any kind of love to that person. Kids, it might be a friend at school. It might be someone at home. And you just struggle loving because it's so hard. But there's some truths that we can remember that John wants to show us from 1 John chapter 4 of how you and I can love others. Not left to our own strength, but in the power of his might that God makes that difference. Let's pray before we get into the word tonight. Father, we thank you for your love. We do thank you for your word. We pray that you would teach us. Would you help us to be challenged with some of these practical truths to help us love others this week when it's tough? Thank you that you care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, a couple weeks ago, we were in verses 1 through 6, and we were challenged with the truth of not believing everything we hear, whether it be on the internet or in life or wherever it is. Well, here we come to, we're actually going to look at verses 7 through 21 this evening, and we'll see the reality that you and I can love others not because of us, but because of God. If you're in 1 John chapter 4, keep your finger there or something else and turn to Ephesians chapter 2, a passage that might be familiar to many of you. In fact, if I said Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, you might be able to rattle it off and not think anything about it and just quote it and you don't think about it. But I want us to actually look at verses 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, leading up to salvation, leading up to the point of forgiveness and that it is possible. Why? Because of God, because of Jesus Christ. That's how you and I can love others. But this is God's love, and it brings salvation. We're reminded that from this passage, that God's love brings salvation. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Kids, there's that word, right? Nature. It's interesting as we look at that, that as the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, he's telling them that they were wicked. They had that as their nature, that sinful nature. But God's love brings that salvation and brings that change. God's love makes that difference. Because he goes on, after describing really they were the children of wrath, even as others, that we are the children of wrath. We were, even as others. We had our conversation there. Sometimes today we look at sinners, which we all are, but we look at unsaved sinners who, man, they're doing these big sins that, whoa. But without Christ, we would be there. Now, some people learn how more to self-control and whatnot, but the reality is sin is wicked, and that was our nature. We still struggle with that old nature. But God's love brings salvation to us, and it's good for them too. And as we look at those people, whether it be the abortionists, whether it be murderers, why can we show them God's love? There was a young man my wife went to high school with, a tough situation, and when they got out of high school, something happened, and he ended up killing his whole family. Now, I had an uncle who went and visited him in jail to share the gospel with him. Karen wrote him a letter to just, again, share the gospel. Why? He had taken people's lives. Because God's love can transform his heart, even though he's done sin and he's been wicked. So sometimes as we look at sinners, we think, well, we just need to stay away from them, and man, we don't want anything to do with them. The reality is God's love brings salvation. It brought it to us, and it'll bring it to them. And we need to love others with God's love. Here's where verse 4 comes in. But God, we were wicked, we were sinners, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Paul said earlier in Romans. Now here, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great what? Let's all say that together. For his great? God's love. For his great love, wherewith he loved who? Aren't you thankful God loves you? That's very personal. Not just God loves the world. John 3:16, sometimes we quote that and say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only... And we just think, again, it's broad. It's the world. He died for everyone. He did. But he died for us. For me. That's what changed my life. That's what gave me salvation. Not because I was able to self-control and not do any of those big sins. But because he forgave me in spite of my wicked sin. Whether it's as a 4-year-old or a 3-year-old, or whether it's as a 20-year-old, or a 50-year-old, or however old you were when you got saved. Wherewith his great love, wherewith he loved us. God's love brings salvation. And we won't continue down through the rest of this passage, but as we look at verse 6, 7, 8, 9, we see that, again, his love brings salvation by faith, the grace of God, Jesus came. But look at verse 10. We aren't saved by works, but we're saved, it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The good work that we're talking about, that looking at in 1 John tonight, is what? Love. The good work of love, which, by the way, is a fruit of the Spirit. God works it. We are created in him, new creatures. Old things are what? Passed away, which he's pointing out to this church, you were. So as we look at ourselves, kids and teens even, as we look at our lives and we struggle loving that kid, we struggle, maybe you struggle with that teacher. How do you show any kind of love or respect? Well, it's by the work that God does. Because God's love brought you salvation and you didn't deserve it either. But not just does God's love bring salvation, God's love brings transformation. Another very familiar passage to many of us, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We see that God's love brings transformation. And there's that big word, transformation, again. We'll talk about it a little bit later tonight. But really, you look up the word transform, even as in Romans chapter 12 here, and it means metamorphosis, to change the very nature of. To be changed from the inside out. God's love brings that change. Yes, it starts at salvation. But then as we've talked, as John has taught us through the epistle here, 1 John, that there's those different sanctification stages. We've got men, we're sanctified, we're with God at salvation. But there's then some practical growth. Can you look at your life and see you need to grow this week? Man, I can. I can look at my life and say, whoa, I need to grow this week. I need to continue to be sanctified into His image. Well, here, again, God's love brings that change. God's love brings that change when I struggle loving someone. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, really just 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the what? Mercies of God. Once again, His love. We don't deserve His mercy. It's mercy. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why? Because we're saved. Paul already goes through this in the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans. He's teaching, you were wicked, you are saved, and now, unto good works, here's what we need to do. That transformation happens. And verse number 2 says, be not conformed to this world. How does the world love others? How does the world love others? With God's love or with selfish love? Selfish love. Have you ever loved someone with selfish love? I have, so my hand's up, right? We've all loved people with selfish love. Man, I'll do that because, man, I think they'll do this for me. Husbands, you ever done that with your wife? You've loved your wife in a selfish way? Wives, sometimes. I mean, we think about that. We can't love each other, not conform to this world's love, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to love others with God's love. That's what makes our love so different. That's why when Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by your love one towards another, it's because it's a supernatural love. Why should all of us be able to get together and worship? We have all sorts of different backgrounds. And lifestyles, and occupations, and so many things, thoughts and the thought processes. But why? Because of God's love. Why can there be unity in this church? Because of God's what? Love. It is supernatural love. So sometimes it's easy to love people, but there's people that are tough to love. But again, it's only possible through being transformed by the renewing of our mind. God's love brings transformation in my life. Oh God, would you change them so I can love them? Oh, yeah, we can pray that God would change people, but the reality is I need to be changed. The change has to be in my heart. Again, that's where I'm so thankful. Man, I was thrilled to go to Harvest Fest. I enjoyed that, but you know how many games I played? One. I tried to get Jeff in the dunk tank. Notice the word I used. Tried. But it was a fun time. But, man, I was so thankful for the preaching. I want God to transform me by the renewing of my mind. There are people, as we think about this specifically tonight, there are people sometimes that are tough to love. And we can only love them by God transforming us. God's love transforms me. I'm thankful for that. Back to the book of 1 John. Back to 1 John chapter 4. As you and I see this need to love people who are tough to love, there's some truths that you and I can remember that will help us along this loving others tomorrow at work, that person who just gets under your skin and they know how to do it and it seems like they enjoy doing it. Or at school and that teacher that you just struggle listening to and struggle just because of the way they talk, or maybe that person, their voice just annoys you. There are so many sometimes goofy reasons we struggle to love others. But you and I need to love others. As we sang, kids, what was that song we sang tonight? This is my what? Command. That's right. God tells us to love others. And so here we see that from 1 John chapter 4. Loving others is possible because, number one, love is of God. Loving others is possible because love is of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. John is writing, and notice the word he uses to address them. This is a noun. This is his description of them. Beloved or beloved. Sometimes when maybe you hear husbands and wives speak to each other, there's all sorts of terms of endearment. Honey, sweetie, baby, doll, I mean, whatever, right? Teddy bear, I've heard that one before. All sorts of things that people can use. And we think of that. Well, John isn't using a term of endearment in the husband-wife sort of way, but he's loving these people. And he says, beloved. The noun he uses is, again, of love. And they can have that love. This whole epistle he talks about, again, he starts out that he's teaching them these truths so they can have that fellowship with God and with them. There's that love aspect. So he says in verse 7, beloved, let us what? Here's that command again. Let us love one another. For love is what? Of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Remember when we talked about the devil's family and God's family? Kids, what's the only way we can get into God's family? To get saved, to ask Jesus to forgive our sins. Or as Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, how did he describe it to him? Ye must be what? Born again. Be born of God. John is saying that. By the way, John was the one who recorded that for us in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus of being born again. So here he says, how is it shown that we can be born again? How can you and I, again, another one of those we talked about a few weeks ago, assurances of salvation. Wow, God's love working in my life and thus through my life so I can love others. It is possible to love because love is of God. He goes on. Everyone that is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not. For God, what? Is love. Not just God loves us. For God so loved the world. In that sense, in John 3:16, it's an action, if you will. It's a verb. He loved. But here it says God is. Again, how many of you hate English? But sometimes it's important to understand some of these things. It is sad, yes. It's incredible as we look at grammar and we see the word is. What kind of verb is that? Okay, so it's a linking verb. This here is also a state of being verb. God really is. This is his state of being. He is what? Love. That is part of God's nature. When we think about it, and we'll mention this in a minute, God created love. He gave us those emotions. But really, love, God has always been. Correct? He's always been and he always will be. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So does that mean at one point in history love started? Did God create love on what day of creation? It was just part of him. Love is. Because God is love. Love is an actual part of God. It's part of his nature. That's why it's possible for you and I to love others. It wasn't just something created. We are created, right? We are created beings. Rob mentioned that this morning as we were doing one of our songs. We are his creatures, his creation. But love has always been because God is love. God always has been. God's emotions didn't just start at some point. And it's hard for us to understand that, kids, right? You look back and you have a birthday and we think of time that way. But God is love. It's part of his nature, his makeup, who he is. Now, we could call anybody, I'll think of Matthew. A lot of people call him what?
Noodle.
Okay, at least all the teens know that, right? So a lot of people call him Noodle. But it doesn't matter what we call him, he's still Matthew. His very nature is him. We could call him Ken and he does not become Ken Sanders. Why? Because Matthew is Matthew and Ken is Ken. God has made us our very nature, who we are. But on a such a greater scale than that, God is love. That's why you and I can love others. because that love comes from God. It's not just something I have to try to work up in myself, not some kind of niceness that I show. Loving others is possible because love is of God. He made us with the ability to love. He put within us emotions. He put within us communication. Now, animals communicate. It's scientifically proven. We know that they communicate in so many different ways. But God gave us an incredible mode of communication as human beings. There is something special about humans. If you will, as the human race, once again, right, teens, there's only one race. We talked about that yesterday. As the human race, we are really the top of God's creation. Because he put Adam in the garden to subdue, to name the animals, to subdue the animals, to keep charge of the garden. We are ultimately the creation that he made for what? Again, his glory. He's given us an incredible mode of communication. So he's put certain abilities in us. And he created us with the ability to have those emotions, to experience hate. But God doesn't want us to hate, does he? Unless it's what? Sin. But not the sinner. That's what makes it, again, it's a logical impossibility. How can I hate that one's sin and love them anyway? Just the hate just comes out. Man, I don't want anything to do with them. Everything. Wait a second. I love and forgive. Not that restores the whole relationship, makes everything good. But we can show God's love. Because while we were yet what? Christ died for us. So God has given us the very ability to show love. Love is of God because he gives us love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is, and it continues on. That's just one of them. But that comes of God. Again, remember, God's love brings salvation. God's love brings transformation. And that's where this transforming happens. He gives me love as I walk in the Spirit. We'll talk about this a little later. Dwelling, kids, that's one of our words, right? So number one, loving others is possible because love is of God. Number two, loving others is possible because love is manifested by God. That's a big word. They're manifested. Verse 9, in this was what? Manifested the love of God toward us. Now, if you look at the context, you can kind of tell what that word means. It's shown to us. Demonstrated. Romans, and while God commendeth his love toward us, he demonstrated, he showed, it was more than just revealing. I mean, man, he just let it out there by sending his son Jesus Christ down to this earth. And that's what John's talking about here. It was manifested to make visible or known. So here we see that this, and in this was manifested or to made seen. Made known the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God's love brings salvation. We talked about that. Verse 10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Again, sometimes people think, we're it. We're everything as humans. We've got it down pat. We figure out all the science stuff. Forget God. We can take care of it. We'll do this cloning. We'll take care. I mean, you name it, we got it. Well, the reality is we don't got it. It comes from God. The abilities even these unsaved scientists have, and so many other things, they come from God. Well, here we see that the love of God was manifested or made known to you and to me. How do we see God's love? That he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin. You know, it's interesting. He could have just sent him down as a grown man. Couldn't God have? Because God can do anything. He did even a greater miracle than that. He had a virgin conceive Jesus. Jesus grew up, kids, with brothers and sisters. That, yes, his earthly mom and his earthly dad had. So they were half brothers and sisters then. But do you know that Jesus loved his siblings? Think about that. Sometimes, kids, it's tough to love siblings, isn't it? Teens, it can be tough. I know. But God wants us to. And Jesus demonstrated that even as a child. But in this was the love of God manifested toward us, not just that he came down and he showed that love to his siblings. Because I tend to think that Jesus' siblings did wrong things to him. Maybe they hit him too. Kids do that. Maybe they bit him. I mean, we can't grasp all of this, but the reality is Jesus grew up in a sinful home just like all of our homes are. Only Jesus was without sin because he's 100% God while being 100% man. But here, loving others is possible because love is manifested by God. It's made known by God, but he sent down his only begotten son because God loved us first. God loved us first. He says, he loved us not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. And then verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The propitiation is one who makes atonement or brings forgiveness. He clears the account, that sinful account. Wow. As we think about that, he came to do that for me so that my sin doesn't hold me back and say, whoa, there is no hope for me. Because without Jesus coming down to earth to be the one to make that atonement, that forgiveness made possible, there would be no hope. That's how the love of God was manifested. So loving others is possible because love is manifested by God. He loved us first. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us and he made it known. Loving others is possible because we can dwell with God. We can dwell in God. Not just because love is of God and that love is manifested or shown by God, but loving others is possible because we can dwell in God. There's that new relationship at salvation. And we often say this in teens. I know you guys are studying false religions in Sunday school. But we don't come to church because we have a religion. And I know sometimes that can be hard to verbalize to your friends. How many of you teens have ever had one of your friends say, so what religion are you? I did when I was a teenager. Any of you? Good, a couple of you have. Okay, now put your hands down. How many of you adults remember you've had people ask you that, whether it's a teen or adult, what religion are you? Well, we aren't of a religion, are we? We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with God because of the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So loving others is possible because I can dwell in God. I can have that close relationship. Remember, the nature of God is what? Love. Verse 8 says God is love. So when I'm dwelling in God, that love is possible to come through me. As you and I see Christ more, we reflect him more. Think about the moon. Teens or kids, does the moon produce its own light? No. What does it do? It reflects the light. That's how you and I show love to those that are tough. We reflect the love of God. As I dwell with him. Yes, I've been saved. I got saved. I was 4.5 years old. I've been saved 31 years. But you know, I still struggle loving people sometimes. But it's possible as I dwell with God and I reflect his love. Man, I can only show it's only because of God's love. And you don't tell them, man, I'm only loving you because of God. Or the reality is you're probably really not loving them, but you just want to give them a nice spiritual way to let them have it. Right? I mean, and so we don't share that with people. But again, because God really does work in our hearts and our lives, and we can love others. Again, that doesn't mean that they earn all that trust or that they earn that close spot as a close friend would have and all the rights that a close friend had. No, but we love them with God's love. Jesus died for everyone. But does that mean everyone is part of God's family because he loves everyone? Some people like to argue that. But the point, the Bible makes it very clear, the only way is to be adopted into the family of God by believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and asking for his forgiveness. And so once you've done that, we can then dwell in God. Verse number 11. Beloved, once again, look at the way he addresses these people with that noun, beloved. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Oh. Sometimes you're like, man, they don't deserve my love. How many of us deserve God's love? Some people come to the point, well, I've got to kind of clean my life up before I can ever come to God because he just can't love me the way I am. That's a lie of the devil. God loves us and we sure don't deserve it. How many of you have been saved for some time and you now deserve God's love? Don't raise your hand. Okay. We don't deserve God's love yet. But God loves us. Aren't you thankful for that? And so that's how you and I can show love to people who don't deserve our love. Are there people in the world that don't deserve your love? Yes or no? And sometimes, kids, it's tough to love your siblings. And you say, well, they don't deserve my love because they did this. They may not deserve your love, but you didn't deserve God's love either. And so here he's saying, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Look at how the world sees God. He says here, no man has seen God. And what does he immediately follow that up with? Reflecting God's what? Love. That's how the world sees God. They'll know you're my disciples by your what? Love one towards another. They see that God makes a difference. They see God in the way we live. I believe it was the Apostle Paul who said, you are not written, but your lives are very epistles or letters of the love of God. Not written with pen and ink, but that our lives show that. It's been said that for some people, the only Bible they may ever see is the way you live. You aren't a Bible, are you? But you sure can reflect the love of God. Even when it's tough. Even that waitress who got your whole order wrong. And then you had a long hair in the food anyway. Right? I mean, it's like, oh, they don't deserve any. They don't deserve. But that waitress needs to get saved just like you and I needed to get saved. But then you've got those people who every day they just rub you the wrong way on purpose. And they're tired of you. And they don't want to be around you. But they have to be. And you have to be. And so you just go back and forth. Well, the reality is, when I dwell in God, I can reflect his love towards them. He says again in verse 12, that's how they see God. When we dwell, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his what? Spirit. At the point of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to live within. Aren't you thankful for the truth of that? The Holy Spirit comes to live within. When I dwell with God, yes, this shows God's love and it shows God to the world. But there's that bond with God. The Holy Spirit comes to live within at salvation. The Bible says in another passage, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. There's an incredible relationship that you and I have with God as we dwell with him and he with us. Some people believe that you need to get more of the Holy Spirit as you continue to be sanctified or, remember, set apart unto godliness. Well, the reality is at salvation, you'll get all of the Holy Spirit you will ever get. But I need to what? Dwell with him, letting him change the way I think. When you go home, when I say that, that conjures up a thought. For me, it's a white house on Water Street. For you, it's a different thought. We dwell in our homes. We abide there. We live there. That's where we go back to. We were on vacation and it was great. But when we were driving down Main Street late Tuesday night, I said, honey, that's our home. We dwell. Well, that's how you and I should dwell with God. He's just part of our life, not just part of our Sunday. not just part of our Wednesday. I dwell with him. And man, that temptation and trial comes because that person is just tough to love. God, please help me. We don't just pray, we need to pray. Pray without ceasing. But we need to quote Scripture, dwelling with him. How do we dwell with God? He has given us his word. How, remember we talked about God's love brings that transformation by the what? Renewing of our minds. It's through his word. Kids, that's why at BLC we ask you to memorize verses. Not just so you can get points or you get good for that night. Not just because that's what we do. Man, teens, didn't Evangelist Young challenge us yesterday with that? Remember what he said? When there's a trial in our life and something we struggle with, he said to do what? Memorize some specific scriptures and quote them. Man, I was challenged with that. Anybody else? Any of you teens challenged with that? Man, I was challenged with that. That's what you and I, that's how we dwell with God. It's his word. We don't always get time to pull out the Bible. You know, we talk about that often with our kids. The way we change our thinking is by praying, by reading or quoting scripture, and by singing Christian songs. Because those things transform the way we think. But we don't always have, we always have time to pray. Right? I mean, man, we can pray wherever we are. Or talk. Aren't you thankful for that? We don't always have time to pull out our Bible, even if it's on our phone. Or even if it's on our computer at our desk. But we always have time to quote a scripture verse that we've memorized. I can dwell with God according to his word, knowing him, dwelling with him, having that close relationship with him. Again, the Holy Spirit, he lives within, yielding to him. I can love others. Why? Because I can dwell in God. Those people that you struggle loving this week, you know certain things are going to set you off, right? We already know certain things that, man, that's always tough when they do that or when they say that. So we prepare ourselves. God, help me. Help me to dwell in you. Help me to quote scripture. Help me to let you change my thinking because I know that trial and that temptation is going to come to not love others this week. And I need to reflect your love, not my selfish love because they don't deserve it. I can love others because I can dwell in God, walking with him every day, throughout the day. But loving others is possible also because our love can be perfected. Loving others is possible because our love can be perfected. He said that already. That it is perfected. Let's look at verse 13 again. Or verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is what? Perfected in us. Whose love is perfected in us? Not my love, but it's God's love. So that's how I can love those people who are tough. By the way, he talks about there are sometimes some tough people to love. Look down in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Again, that dwelling in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Here we see that again, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. God is real, and we are real in this world. We aren't a figment of some imagination. I think I am, thus I am, right? Like in philosophy, some of you high schoolers maybe have taken some of this. I remember some of our teens back in Muskegon, man, they had these classes. So if a tree fell in the forest, did it make any noise, right? If no one was around to hear it, is it making noise or is it just some imagination we see? And so, I mean, so many crazy things we can think about. But the reality is we're real in this world and thus we can show God's love to others in this world because others are real. His love can be perfected in me. Herein is our love made perfect. Notice it's made perfect. It's not me making it perfect. It's not me pulling myself up by my bootstraps a little harder. The pioneers had to do a lot of pulling up by the bootstraps to work hard on the farms. But that's not how we live for God. Yes, it takes discipline. Yes, it takes God changing us and us constantly yielding, and it's tough. But it's perfected in us. God's love is perfected in us. So thus, it's more than just reflecting God's love to others. Just saying, okay, God, reflect it off me because I really don't love them. But the reality is, it's perfected in us. I can really love people who are tough to love because God does it. God perfects that love. The word perfected means to make perfect or complete. Wow, I can love others with God's awesome love because it's perfected in me. We can show that love boldly to others, not timidly or ashamed. Maybe at school there's this kid who's always made fun of. Everybody makes fun of him. And I mean, you feel wrong as a Christian to do that. And you see, maybe you kind of chuckle just enough so that people can see that you're not standing against them. And we talked about that yesterday. Brother Young did. But how do you really love that person? It's perfected or complete or shown, made whole by God. Standing up, again, loving, boldly loving others. And notice, there's some tough things going on here. He said, because as he is, so are we in the world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. And he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. We can love others because God's love is perfected in us. And then fifth, yes, I have more than 3 points tonight. Isn't that exciting? Fifthly, loving others is possible because of God's transformation. That's what it is. God transforms the way I think. You ever really struggled loving someone and you look back and you see how God changed that? Maybe through prayer, yielding to God, quoting scripture. Again, it's what? Through these things. Because love is of God. Because love is manifested by God. Because we can dwell in God. Because God perfects his love in us. But ultimately, because God's transformation in me. Not simply reflecting his love as just some simple mirror would reflect the sun, but actually letting transform me so that his love flows through me. The transformation from the inside out. Because remember, God's love brings salvation and God's love brings transformation. Being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And here he says this, we love him because he initiated that love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. And then we love others because God commanded that love. We need to love our brother. We need to love those who are tough to love at times. We need to love those around us that aren't always easy. Why? It's a command of God. But aren't you thankful he didn't just say you better love others, but he made it possible so that we can? Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the what? Power of his resurrection. That's how much power you and I can have to love those who are tough to love. So this week as you go out and you're preparing to love that person who you already know you're struggling with, how many of you already know there's someone you're going to struggle loving this week? Okay, I do too. The only way we can do that then is by letting God work that in us. So let's commit that. God, help me. You've shown me your love. You've manifested it. You are love. I know the truth of that. Help me then to dwell in you, to let you perfect my love, and to let you transform me so that I can show your love to the unlovable this week. Father, we thank you for your love. God, I pray that you'll be with each of us. God, many of us already know who we're going to struggle loving. There might be more than one. It might be at school. It might be at home. It might be someone in a distance. But we know that you want us to love others. So would you help us to do that this week? Would you let us dwell in you? Help us to dwell in you. Help us to let you perfect our love. Help us to let you transform the way we think so that your love can flow through us.